right, welcome to the special U.S. Open edition of the Gear Dive. We're here with a young man that's we're kind of tracking his progress as he goes along his journey at Pebble Beach. We're on the line with Hayden Shea again. Hayden, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, so two rounds in the books, 77-69. So, you know, talk to me a little bit about what you learned from yesterday, because yesterday didn't go off the way you wanted it to, but you also, you know, felt like a better score was out there for you. So just kind of talk me through the dynamics of both rounds and what you kind of took over from yesterday that helped you today.
Yeah, so yesterday I didn't play bad at all, actually. It's just the pace of play out here is incredibly slow. And, you know, we got our last four holes were pretty much in the dark from 7 to 7:50. And I don't have the greatest of vision in low light. And I felt like I lost a little bit of depth perception, so I couldn't really see very well when I was at address, and I couldn't see a ball go out in the air at all, you know, with the fog and low light conditions. So I wasn't really worried going into today. I knew I would have better greens than like yesterday, which were pretty bumpy. And I just took it. I took advantage of the greens today. I had a little rough start today. I started 5-5-5 on 1-2-3, but you know, I knew there's a lot of scoreable holes out there, and I was hitting it pretty good and just kept on grinding and made a couple birdies and got it back to even. And you know, a couple holes remaining, said, you know, can birdie 18, I can maybe birdie one more hole coming in and shoot, post a good score, and hopefully get it back to somewhere where I can make the cut. But it looks like I probably won't, but that's okay.
So what number did you have in mind? I mean, we talked a little bit last night and you said, you know, 65, 66 was probably going to get you back, not only to make the cut, but also back to a certain point where you might get hot on the weekend and have a shot at the leaderboard.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. No, I thought that those are the numbers I was trying to shoot today, 65. I just, that poor start really, you know, kind of hindered that a little bit, because, you know, 69, 200 today and three more shots left out there and a couple birdies putts that were inside 8 feet that I missed. So I thought it was there.
What is it? I mean, is it, because you guys, you know, obviously you guys don't always go out there and shoot 62. So, you know, you go out there and go 5-5-5, you know, because one is what it is. It's a, you know, a 2-iron and a wedge, or 2-iron and an 8-iron, or whatever it is. And then five's a monster. And then 3 is pretty gettable as well. If I remember correctly, it's like a short par 4, isn't it? Or short par 4. So is it just hitting it at the wrong side of the greens? Is it just hitting poor shots? Like, what exactly was it? I wasn't able to see it. I mean, it didn't – I just tried.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. So, you know, one, I thought I hit a good shot into the wind, but the hybrid ran like a foot into the rough, and I had to hack it out. I hit it to the front of the green, but my chip shot ended up short, and I wasn't able to get up and down. I missed the 6-footer for par. Two is a little bit difficult. You know, I told myself, if you make 4, great. If you make 5, not a big deal. I hit a pretty good drive into the fairway today. Or sorry, I went in the rough today. My bad. Thing of the wrong day. Hit in the left rough and then had to hack it out to, you know, 125. I put it to, you know, about 8 feet. Just missed it on the low side. And funny part, 3, I was trying to draw a driver, and I duck hooked it so far left that it was actually on the 16th grandstand by the green. But I got a good drop, actually. And I caught a flyer out of the rough, and it went over the green, chipped it up to about 20 feet, and just burned the edge, two-putted it for bogey, unfortunately. And then on 4, too, I hit nice 4-iron in the fairway, hit a wedge onto the green, 6 feet. Just below and left, and missed that. So, you know, just one of those days, left a lot out there.
Okay, so it's your first U.S. Open. Do you find yourself thinking about, like, wow, I can actually play out here and play well? Or is it like, wow, I got a lot of work to do? Like, where's your head at?
No, a little bit of both, right? I think today shot 2-under with left a lot out there. I knew I could play with anybody out here. Should I beat Tiger Woods today? Unfortunately, he had a better round yesterday, so he'll be playing tomorrow. But, you know, it's just eliminating those big numbers. You know, if you make a double, that's really going to hurt. And I think that's where my game needs a little bit of fine-tuning to avoid those. And I think it might be time for me to either get LASIK or contacts so I can see at night. I think that'll help a lot.
So what was the biggest lesson you learned this week? Like, what was it?
Never count yourself out until the very end. You know, just because you shoot 77 one day doesn't mean you can post a number the next day. I played with Jimmy Walker in the practice round, and he told me, you know, his first U.S. Open, he shot 77 the first round, too, but then shot 66 the next day. Right. And I totally can see, you know, what he's talking about.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but probably the next most important lesson is, I think, you know, there's a lot of distractions out here between the crowd and, you know, the ocean and all that, and you just have to kind of keep your head down and look at where you want to go instead of getting sucked into everything else. I think players that do that have an easier time playing tournaments.
Well, the interesting thing too is also, you know, once you get out on the main tour, you know, obviously, you know, that it's more of a shootout. The Pebble Beach and the U.S. Open is its own animal, right? Like, that's,
yeah,
you can go out and shoot a higher number the first round and hold it together the second round. And, you know, what I've heard a lot of some of the psychology that comes out of playing in a major, especially if it's your first one, is you actually, you know, too bad you couldn't go to the next tour event, because a lot of these guys leave their first U.S. Open and they go to like the next tour track, and they just have so much pressure taken off them because the golf course is like right out in front of them, that they tend to go light it up, right? Because it's like, well, that's this is easy now. So, you know, that's another positive you take away with you the next tournament you go play. Is it's kind of like, I just played in the Open at Pebble. Like, this is a cakewalk, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, okay, so what's up for you next? Where do you go from here?
I'm going to try to play around here for the next couple days, you know, just practice in. But I'm flying out on Monday to go back to playing the Mackenzie Tour, the last three events of the summer.
Okay.
Before I have to get into that reshuffle, unfortunately, unless I win the next event, which then I'll be fine.
Right.
But that's the plan for the next month. Just leaving next week, playing in Lethbridge for a week, come back for a week, practice, and go back and play two more weeks. That'll take me all the way to the end of July. And depending on if I get in on the reshuffle or not, maybe I'll go Monday qualify somewhere up there, or I'll find other events to play in August.
Well, you also have some Monday qualifiers as well for web.com and some of the tour events that, you know, once they go through Napa and some of those, you know, those wraparound season, I'm assuming you probably go try and Monday qualify for some of those as well, right?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not really a fan of Monday qualifiers because, A, it's all lock based. You know, it's just who has it that day or not.
Right.
And B, the PGA Tour really overcharges players to play in those, in my opinion. So they're not really cost efficient if you're spending $1,000 just for a Monday qualifier, where you can, I'd rather go, you know, Monday qualifying to Latin America or Canadian Tour event, where it's a little bit easier, but, and it's a little cheaper too if you're a member on one of those tours versus the web, where we have to pay one of the members for Latino American candidates still have to pay, you know, $300 for a Monday.
Right. Okay. Last
question. Not even at a good course.
Last question I have for you. What's the moment you won't forget from this week? What's the one moment?
Oh, I hit the longest drive on 18 at Pebble in US in history today.
Okay.
In history.
Yeah.
I hit a draw off the tee, and I thought it was fine, and it ended up not covering the ledge, but it hit a rock and bounced 100 yards forward, just short of the start of the left bunker, and I had 155 in.
So you're 100, you're 100 yards in front of that right tree, basically.
Yeah.
Because that right tree is like 250 from the front, I think, or 245.
Yeah.
From the front, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Good pretty
God.
Much.
Good God, man.
There were no divots out there, but I will never speak of that again. If people see me and ask about that drive, I will just say, you know what? I hit the gym a lot. I hit it far.
I did some push-ups. I did some party push-ups before I showed up.
Yeah, exactly. Good for exactly.
You. Well, Hayden, exactly. Thank you for giving us this time, you know, for Golf WRX. I think the community was obviously, you know, following you, and we're all really excited for you. So you'll be out there soon enough, and we'll see you out there. You'll see Greg Moore taking your clubs again.
Exactly.
And thanks for giving us this kind of inside look into what it's like. And we wish you all the best of luck.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.